Now that's what I call RDU, a New Zealand Music Month special, a 21-episode live podcast series that'll feature discussions from an array of key players across the local music scene, including Ototahi's musical trailblazers, RDU present and past hosts, plus members from RDU's 45-year-old established community. Proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now that's what I call RDU. 2000 to 2009.
Good morning. You're listening to Ben and Josh on the morning after. We are running through the decades. We've done the 80s. We've done the 90s. Now it's time to finish up the 2000s.
Yes, we're here with Missy G this morning. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How's it going?
Very good. How are you?
I'm all right. It's a bit of an early start for me, but yeah, I'm on fine form.
It's all right. You've got coffee in hand. We'll get some nice music going. We'll wake up. It'll be all good.
All right. So set the scene for us. It is what, 1997 to 1999. We're just approaching the 2000s. Where are you and what are you up to?
Whoa. Okay, so from 97, I was at Canterbury University studying, doing a Bachelor of Arts in English Literature.
Hey, me too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
But it wasn't that far back, perhaps.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was around the campus at that time. Of course, RDU was located there. Mm-hmm. And, it was a friend of mine, actually, Marcus Winstanley, who I'd met, like, funnily enough, kitchen handing back in the day.
Nice.
And so he and I just had a really strong interest, obviously, in music. So introduced me to RDU, and then I started, I think my first show was No Man's Land, which is the which used to be, of course, what I have is a girls' school now.
Yep.
So that was coordinated by the legendary Miriama McDonald, aka Mizza.
Nice.
And so that was one of my first my first training session.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it? What was RDU, you know, like in that kind of just the cusp of the 2000s when you were starting out? You know, was everything was still on tape then? Had you moved to CDs yet? What was the tech like?
Okay. So that's a good question. So we still had like carts as well. Yeah.
Nice.
So we had carts and there were a couple of CD players in there as well. So
nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then after that, you've done so many things for and with RDU. No Man's Land was your first one, but we've also done, you know, news reading, wire host, music show host, all of that. So how did you go from, okay, I'm doing this, I'm doing it monthly, it's fun, you know, how did you then move on to doing so many other things with RDU?
Oh, I was just really passionate about it, you know. I've always loved RDU and I've loved radio. And, so one thing basically, one show led to, another. And, you know, RDU does just give that opportunity for young people to just, get as much experience in the field.
Nice.
Too right. Yeah. I mean, hi, look at us.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just gonna say, we'll get to your first track, which is Breathing Air. How come you picked this from the Leds?
Okay, so that's the LEDs. Which
Dots in the middle, Ben.
Oh, I can't see it.
Yeah.
That's blind,
I see it now,
forgive
I see it now.
Awesome. So this is the LEDs, which is the work of Helen Greenfield. Now, she used to actually be in the Barnard Star with Marcus Winstanley as well. So that's kind of the linkage here. when we go later down the track, about 2006, I started DJing, doing a regular stint, after the Mixtape Connection at Cartel, which was on Soul Square, a really tiny, cool bar, run by a guy, Johnny DeMonchi. And, so I did a lot of events there, which I'll be talking about with the next tracks, and the LEDs, we did the LED sound system one night. So, this is why I chose this track, Breathing Air.
Fantastic. Let's give it a listen. Might want to plug the aux cord in and then we'll give it a listen, you know what I mean? Goodness me, technology these days. There we go.
Thank you.
Oh, what a brilliant track. That was so cool. It was very, felt very 2000s, you know? Just those techie sounds and stuff. It felt like, you know, we're in a new millennium now.
That
sort of atmospheric synth sound. Actually, Helen, she's not only like plays and stuff, but she builds them as well. She's quite amazing.
Wow.
She's actually still doing a lot of audio stuff, and she's got a gig coming up through the Audio Foundation in June. So keep an eye out.
Exciting. We will.
Let's move through the ages and now talk about Brett Records.
Yes.
So okay. Go ahead. I'm sure there's so many things. It's a can of worms we're opening here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, so Brett Records, so that was an organisation that was set up and driven by a woman called Carla Potter, a.k.a. Rotter, and... yeah, she was an amazing drummer too, and she was in an all-girl band called Snort, punk band.
Cool.
Damn, that's a cool name.
Yeah, so actually, yeah, you guys need to check out some Snort.
I do need
to. To listen to Girls' School.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right.
I was, Carla's assistant through, she did, at the time there was quite a few music compilations coming out of Christchurch Music.
Mm-hmm.
So I was helping her out with Brat 3, which is, called Marvin, as you can see.
It's very cool.
Yeah, so this was like, Carla was managed quite a few bands in Christchurch, being like Slim, Fuse. I think Spanky talked about Fuse.
Yeah, maybe he did. Yeah.
Of that era. And also Carla managed Hera as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So it was of that that time.
Cool.
Yeah. And it was quite funny because I was on the artist allowance back then too.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So, yeah.
That's very fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we've heard quite a lot from other people about, you know, the electronic scene in the 2000s and on all that kind of stuff. So what was the more kind of, you know, rock, punk, you know, alternative scene like in these early years for the 2000s?
Yeah, sure. So in the early 2000s, like, yeah, there was a real sort of rock indie, scene going on.
Yeah.
So you sort of had bands such as, like, The Undercurrents, which was sort of, more kind of folky, I guess, on that sort of side of the front. Stephen Van Soos, The High Tone Destroyers.
Cool.
Charlie Ash was in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, like, at the Media Club, which...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which was one of the main kind of I guess, underground rock venues, which was run by this crazy dude, Keith. Old Keith.
Old Keith.
Yeah, but he was just like salt of the earth. And yeah, he was always like, "Are you crazy, you know, creative kids?"
He's like, "I don't really get it, but come and play."
Absolutely.
Wow, that's nice. So cool.
Yeah. So, so that was all going on. As well as, of course, the sort of electronica scenes, like Electro Clash.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. So, I guess that's kind of, roughly putting it, sort of like a mashup of like sort of punk and electronica.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to, of course, Mixtape.
Yes.
Connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that was the brainchild. It was a club night and the brainchild of Bennett Hitchcock, Dr. Hitchcock, and he was the audio engineer here at RDU at that time. He had his own show, and he was just really passionate about music and having a good time. And so he just got a collective of us together, which was myself in the original lineup, and a guy, Bill Bird, and also Richard McFarlane, who did the Guitar Media Show. And so, yeah, I know that, yeah, Darlene and Amanda spoke about it. So we do, I have contacted Bennett, and, yeah, can we play that?
We sure can. We actually have
about the Mixtape
Connection.
Yeah,
we have a message here about the Mixtape Connection. So let's give this one a sweet little listen.
Electro Clash. The 2000s in Christchurch were when rock and electronic music collided, and the sounds of DFA Records and LCD Sound System were the main driver behind it. Electro Clash had just hit the scene, and New Wave was making a renaissance. The Rapture, Output Recordings, Kitsune Maison, Errol Alkin, Soulwax, Justice, and Digitalism were all on high rotate. Missy G, Bill Bird, Richard McFarlane and myself from various RDU shows wanted to throw a dance night for the indie kids, and so the Mixtape Connection was born. Hand claps, edgy haircuts, equally edgy dance moves, Atari computer games, DIY t-shirts, posters, zines and of course mixtapes gave those nights a really special vibe. I even bumped into James Murphy at Real Groovy in Auckland once and gave him a copy of the very first Mixtape Connection CD. In 2007, in collaboration with RDU, I released the first This Is Not the Christchurch Sound CD, which I guess could be broadly described as indie electronic. At that time, Christchurch is well known for drum and bass, and I wanted to put something together that better reflected the scene that I was part of. It featured the Tiger Tones, Pig Out, Ed Music, Charlie Ash, Break Mission Kills, and my own jam collective, the Electro Pussy Posse. To quote James Murphy in the LCD Sound System song All My Friends, we set controls for the heart of the sun, one of the ways that we show our age. We'll be right back.
Oh, now that will wake you up in the morning.
Very 2000s.
That was the Charlie Ash Oh Baby Module remix. Mm. Yeah, why? I mean, we know a little. Why'd you pick that song?
Okay, Charlie Ash. I love Charlie Ash at the time. And that's the work of Maylee Matthews and Rosie Rigger. They were just sort of burst onto the scene and just they were just so flamboyant in their sound and their looks. They just, they were hot and sexy and, their outfits and, just it was kind of the leotard kind of era.
Ooh, nice.
A really fun band. And, I did quite a bit of work with them at Cartel as well. But in 2008, New Year's Eve, Cartel was this tiny bar. I don't know how we all fitted in there.
Just kind of cram wall to wall.
Oh, yeah. Nice. But, you know, like health and safety, would have...
Didn't exist in 2007, 2008. Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was New Year's Eve, which was Charlie Ash and also the Sexy Animals, which were the two piece at the point in time. Mm-hmm. And also they did, Maylee and Rosie did a really cool DJ set together. And like,
cool.
Yeah, Rosie was like, just like all over the bar and Ooh. Just like, you know, swinging from poles. And
Using all the space, to be honest. Being the main character. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, they're fantastic. And also they did, they also played at like the Media Club. They supported the Chills. And then later on, they also went Chicks on Speed, which are an all-girl kind of electro clash outfit. They were big at the time from overseas. And Charlie Ash supported them up in Auckland. Mm-hmm. And also Ari Up from the Slits. So,
nice.
Yeah, and they also played at one of RDU's biggest events, which was run by the station manager here, PZ. And
heard
was
of him?
Cheapest Chips.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I have heard of that,
It was Fat Freddy's drop at the university grounds there. So,
cool.
Yeah, and Charlie Ash. Actually, I think I did a DJ set just prior to them too.
Hey!
Which just worked beautifully.
Nice. Yeah. Love that. Well, we'd be amiss not to just reverse back a little bit and talk about the Galaxy Records Album of the Week Drive show feature, which is how you started working with Galaxy Records. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that
story? Cool. So Galaxy Records, that was the record store in Christchurch, which is So I did a drive show and it was Galaxy Records Album of the Week was one of the main features.
Cool.
And so it was my job at that point in time to Dave, who used to run, was the owner of Galaxy, and he'd fax fax to see the new release.
Cool.
So that was back in the fax days.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So, and then I think, I was a programming assistant at that point in time with RDU as well. And, what was happening then, it was, RDU basically saved my ass from Wins, and they were going to send me out on Outward Bound.
Cool.
And I was like, to my program director at that point, which was Margaret Gordon, I was like, I can't do that.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it.
Oh, my gosh.
So they put a case in, for me to do a six-month stint.
Nice. Thank goodness. Shout out Galaxy Records.
Anyway, with Galaxy, after that term, I just remember and rang up Galaxy and I said, oh, yeah, by the way, I know lots about music. Do you have any work for me? And it was like, yeah, okay, I'm sure you do.
He's like, yeah, we hear this all the time. All right, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then I went in and, just worked casually with both, of course, Tim Beard and Dave Imlay. And, I was kind of the girl Sunday, really.
Cool.
Nice.
And you've picked a song from this kind of era, Hey Mickey. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so, This was a really pivotal point in my music world and was the introduction to John B. And again, I was at Galaxy Records and the new, because it had drum and bass Thursdays were massive.
Yeah.
It was all the drum and bass vinyl and, you know, all the drum and bass cats were in there on the Thursday with their puffer jackets.
Yeah. The hats on.
And a new order had just come through and Tim Beard goes, Here you go. This is like the Yahoo Serious of drum and bass, John B. And I was like, who's that? Electro Step. So, and I just, it kind of changed my whole direction, really, and got me really into the 80s. So here we go. This is the drum and bass version of Hey Mickey.
No balls. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey. Hey, Mickey. Please, baby, please don't leave me in
We are back with Missy G, talking about the thousands, of course. And we should address how 80s drum and bass and the music, of course, of that past influenced the thousands. So how would you say it did?
Oh, okay, so I think that the beauty here with John B is that he actually invented his own genre called electro step. And so basically that was getting the 80s kids, such as I, into the world of drum and bass. Mm. And the drum and bass kids technically into the 80s. I'm not sure that pulled that one off. However, yeah, so that was a real formative sound at that time. Mm. Yeah, and also led me overseas, to the UK. I did quite a bit of travelling around London with a good friend of mine.
Cool.
And we went to Sun and Bass in Sardinia, and where I also met the Sir John B. And it was an interesting moment.
Was it?
Well, now I feel like I need to know more, you know. What was the intrigue?
Well, you know, perhaps one should take their opportunities when
Well, I see. Sounds like a sweet deal,
which is maybe a good segue for us to talk about the Sugar Club. Yeah, see what I did there? So, Sugar Club-wise, this is like late, 2007, 2008? So,
Around those times,
we're moving far into digitalisation, into the tens almost. So, yes, how is it different for you?
Yeah, okay. So, with the Sugar Club, so that was a collective of woman DJs.
Mm, cool.
And that was at a cool bar called Double Happy. We were basically, that's an all-girl crew, and we did just lots of DJing. We're still using predominantly vinyl as well. So that was a good fun time.
Yes, I love just the vinyl. The fact that we've had so many vinyls coming in
through
the segment, it's been so cool.
Definitely.
So I totally understand people now who collect them, because like there's just something about the grittiness, the tangibility.
For sure.
So thank you for bringing that in as well.
And through the, you know, we talked about your beginnings in RDU in the early stages. As you got later on into the 2000s, how did your relationship, you know, evolve with RDU? What were you continuing to do throughout the decade?
Throughout the decade. So I just continued to, just really was with No Man's Land. So I took over that show from Mizza, from Miriam, and just basically redesigned it, renamed it, ironically renamed it like Girl School, which is... which got the boys sort of giggling at the station at the time, but it was actually named after a heavy metal, all-girl heavy metal band, nice. Girl School from the 80s. Yeah, so I've just always been involved, and of course I work at Mainz, I'm the campus administrator there, so we have a really great relationship,
connection,
which has continued. Between Mainz and RDU.
Hell yeah.
Very cool.
We'll get students involved, you know?
Final track now, which is Sexy Animals. So excited for this one.
Yes.
No idea.
Do you want to tell us? Yeah, tell us a bit about Sexy Animals. Yeah. I mean, the name alone is enough to intrigue anyone.
Okay, so the Sexy Animals, that was the work originally. They were a two-piece, which was the fabulous Mark Banfield. It was Dave Mulcahy, previous of Superette and the JPS Experience.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the Sexy Animals, we did lots of work together and at Cartel and at the Vespa Room, and just really, again, a lot like Charlie Ash, flamboyant right out there. And then later on in the later 2000s, they joined the rhythm section from Into the Void, which is Dave Imlay and Mark White. So they were a full band.
Cool.
The Serious Daves and the Silly Marks.
The names are just the best. And speaking of names, this particular track is called Up the Bum, No Babies, which has got to be one of the greatest track names we've had throughout this entire segment, if I'm honest. Was that at all controversial when it came out, or did the circles that it played in all just accept the name?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good humour.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Well, thank you so much for coming into the studio this morning, Missy G.
Awesome.
Gosh, there are so many things more that we could still cover, because you've done so much awesome work with RDU and just radio and music and Christchurch and New Zealand in general. So thank you so much. It's been amazing talking to you this morning, and all the best.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
are full and brazen.
You've been listening to Now That's What I Call RDU, a retrospective series that dives deep into the stories, the people and the music that shaped RDU 98.5 FM, proudly made with support from 12 Bar. Now That's What I Call RDU.